The following podcast is a glimpse into the life of First United Methodist Church in Beaumont, Texas. We pray it is a blessing as you seek to love your city with the heart of Christ.
Until we are perfected in love, we continue to grow into the image of Christ. That is, until by the power of the Holy Spirit, God's work in our lives has completely fashioned us, body, mind, and soul, heart, mind, and strength, into a complete reflection of Jesus, we continue to grow. Another way to look at it is to say that inherent in the disciple's life is continued growth in grace. And so the converse of that is that if we are content with ourselves not growing in this moment, in this season, in this time frame, we must ask ourselves, is this a moment or season of Sabbath rest, or have we grown complacent with ourselves where we are? I really can't answer that for you. I have to answer it for myself. And there are necessary times of Sabbath. That's why we gather on the Lord's Day, to worship God, to celebrate rest, to understand that occasionally inactivity is the work to which we are called so that we may be restored in our bodies. If you run the engine all the time without refueling or checking the oil, it's going to burn up. My dad used to say, if you burn the candle at both ends, you're going to get weak in the middle. Dad taught me some very good things in life and some not so good things in life. One of the things Dad taught me was to be curious about household repair work, to explore it, to try to understand it, to learn how to be able to do it. And one of the things that I've learned how to be able to do is to replace a garbage disposal. And it happened that just before the storm, ours went out. So I picked one up. And it wasn't until this last week after the storm and recovery efforts that I got around to changing it out. Well, with household projects for my dad, he also taught me certain expressions of frustration, if you will. There's a whole language that goes with it, in fact. And for much of my adult life, whenever I tackled household projects, I was true to my father's teaching. This last week, however, something mysterious happened. I decided it was time to change the disposal. I went out to the garage and I got my bucket of tools and I came inside and I grabbed the new disposal and unpacked it and I read the instructions. Who knew those things were important, Janie? And I asked Holly, would you please be my assistant? And she said, yes. That was mysterious too. And I crawled up under the sink, Well, first I turned the circuit breaker off. Then I crawled up under the sink and disconnected the electricity and undid the disposal and set it in a bucket. And then I took the new one and I put it in. And I asked for tools from Holly, saying, please and thank you. And no, it's not this one. It's one like this without the pliers on it. It's a wire cutter. It's got a pointy end. And she said, oh, okay, and she found it. And I said, thank you, and it worked. And I climbed out from under the sink, and I hadn't been frustrated at all. And by God's grace, the Holy Spirit removed from me all of those expressions of frustration. I kept my manners. And I tell you all of that to say that God's Spirit is continually active in our lives as we make ourselves available to that activity. So my responsibility in that was to present myself to God as a living sacrifice. I didn't do this consciously. I didn't say, God, I want to change this disposal without any of the language my dad used to use. I just said, it's time to change the disposal. And God said, okay, let's try it a different way today, John. And it happened. And it wasn't anything I did, but it was everything that God did. And I remain thankful for the work of God in my life today. Inherent in the disciples' life is the desire for continued growth in grace. Paul wrote it this way to the Romans and to us. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercy of God, present yourselves, your bodies, as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable, which is your spiritual worship. As we celebrate the Eucharist, pay attention to the prayer that we pray. We offer ourselves in union with Christ's offering for us. In all that we do, whether we're changing a disposal in our own house or carrying out ruined carpet from somebody else's, whether we deliver and feed a meal to people who are hungry in Rothwell Hall or carry a case of water to someone who's still on a boiled water notice, whether we clothe somebody with a shirt off our own back or buy somebody a brand new suit of clothes, whether we visit people in their homes or in the hospital or in the prisons. I'm reminded of these things that are on our windows in the back and the saints who are embodied and pictured in those windows. Saint Columba up there stares at me because he set off from Ireland with 12 followers in a coracle with no rudder, and said, Spirit, wind, blow us where you will, and we will set up shop there. They ended up on Iona, the islands of northern Scotland, and from there that ministry grew and evangelized all of northern Scotland. Present yourselves to God. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Renewing our minds means that we don't always think right. I don't always think right. We're often looking out for ourselves instead of out for others. Sometimes we may have timeless thoughts. That which remains unchanging in all of time is God alone. The Holy Roman Emperor Charlemagne used to run the conquered through streams and call that baptism. We don't think that's appropriate anymore. So we must renew our minds to understand our current setting, to see where our society is and how we are called to live and be in ministry today. Things have changed in our world, and how we might best respond, therefore, has changed, though God's word remains timeless. That's why Paul tells us, renew our minds. And he says this, "For by grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think more highly of yourself than you ought to think, but with sober judgment, think each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned." When our children were in high school, the saying was, "Oh, they think they're all that in a bag of chips." What is it today? Somebody help me. Somebody who just thinks all that of themselves, what do you say to them? What do you say about them behind their back? That's confession, by the way. What do we say, Sil? You don't know? Of course, you don't engage in that. Yeah. Help me. What do we say? Oh, all that is curly fries. Yeah, so I'm just straight potatoes. That's it. That's what Paul says. We're not curly fries. Think of ourselves as we are. I'm just straight chopped potatoes. Personally, I'd like to be hash browns. "For as one body, we have many members, and not all the members have the same function. So we who are many are one body in Christ, and individually we are members of one another." We are members of one another as a congregation. I belong to you, you belong to me, we belong to each other. So how I treat myself, I treat you, and how I treat you, I treat myself. What happens, I mean, the ankle bone is connected to the leg bone. The leg bone's connected to the knee bone. The knee bone's connected to the thigh bone. The thigh bone's connected to the... Ow! I've been wrestling with God like Jacob, and he struck me in my hip and said, "Think soberly about yourself and understand your role and your responsibility and your capabilities in Christ." It's the same within our United Methodist District, our United Methodist Conference, and our region and globally. It's the same within our city and community, all of our sisters and brothers in Christ. So as we reach out in ministry with others, we find our place and our role in our community to become the hands and the feet, the heart and the mind, and the eyes of Jesus Christ. We have gifts that differ according to the grace, Paul continues, prophecy and ministry, teaching, exhortation. Somebody asked, "What is exhortation?" And I said, "Is there somebody, if they call you, you either ignore the phone call completely because you know you can't say no to them, or you answer the phone call knowing that whatever they ask you, you're going to do it?" They said, "Oh yeah, that's Phyllis." I said, "Phyllis among us has the supreme gift of exhortation. So please understand that when she calls, she's thought about it, she's prayed about it, we've conferred about it. And it's not because she thinks you owe anything to her, it's because God has helped us discern who might best fill that role." Don't ignore the phone call. If you can't do it, own that and say, "I'm not able to this time, but call me next time, I will." That's okay. the giver in generosity, the leader in diligence, the compassionate in cheerfulness. I just want to spend a moment on compassionate in cheerfulness. Have you ever gotten something from somebody compassionately and they were gloomy about it? Yeah, you can have this. I don't need it anymore. That's why Paul says, be cheerful in your compassion. Be cheerful in your compassion. Give with joy the gift of compassion to one another. So we're growing, we're becoming, we're taking Sabbath rests in the middle of growing and becoming. We're struggling against complacency. How, Pastor John, how do we do this? Thanks for asking. I have an idea. Wesley charged Methodists with searching the Scriptures. And as I listen to folks that are smarter than I am that know, they say that our society more resembles first century Christianity than it does 20th century Christianity. So my thought is the place to go is to the Acts of the Apostles, to search that book from beginning to end at least twice. So in the month of October, beginning on the 1st of October and finishing on the 31st of October, there are 28 chapters in the book of Acts. We're going to read 1 through 14 on the first 14 days. Have a couple of days to either reread or catch up reading, and then pick up on about the 16th or 17th the rest of the book with a day at the end of the month to reread and catch up. Our Wednesday night gatherings for Bible study, our Thursday morning gatherings for Bible study will be focused on our daily readings. And if you want to gather some other time that's more fitting with your schedule, let me know. And I'll be sure that we can schedule that time. So if a Sunday evening or afternoon fits better with your schedule, because Wednesday nights are tied up and Thursday mornings are tied up, let me know and I'll be sure that we can fiend a group to meet as a gathered body so that we can search these passages in the Acts of the Apostles so that we might better understand God's call upon our lives. Pastor Silverio and I are starting today with Acts chapter 1, so that by the end of September, we'll be 14 chapters ahead and can begin to pray together and craft questions for our weekly gatherings. And then on September 1, we'll start over with Acts chapter 1 and continue with Acts chapter 15 so that at the midbreak of October we will again be 14 days ahead and prepared for the next half of the study so that we can renew our minds, so that we can be renewed in our minds by the power of Christ, so that we can then discern the will of God for our congregation, what is good, what is acceptable, and what is perfect. Because that's God's call upon our lives. And what we're trying to do, what we're seeking in this as God's people, is to move closer, nearer, if you will, nearer to the heart of Christ, so the life-giving heartbeat of Jesus can be what gives our lives life and meaning and depth. Nearer to the heart of Christ. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. If you would like more information, please visit our website at www.lovebeaumont.com.